Dr. G. Steve Kennard, Dr. Ryan Murphy. I want to thank each and every one of you. I could name you all by name. In the interest of time, I'll just say my loving family. And so I come bearing gifts. Right. I hand out, okay? Middle school all over again, okay? Going to hand this out. Front and back, you know, the old Rexograph, if you remember that. All right, so could I get a couple of volunteers? Pass this out, some handouts. And while you're passing that out, I'll tell you what we're going to do today. All right, let me just get set up. And do a class on emotional development. Can't mention the word development without thinking about maturity. Now, here's the challenge. When you're talking about emotional maturity, emotional development, I know we're already preaching to the choir. I can actually say to you, be who you are, and then just send you out there in the world, and be done with the lecture, because I already know that you live this stuff. But if you're anything like me, a good reminder every now and then will help. Mm-hmm. I also told Dr. Irby, I said, listen, man, Ryan, emotional development is a huge topic. Mm-hmm. It's a fishing net of topics. And in order for us to really cover this right, because emotions are long, colorful spectrums of individual emotions that are too numerous to count, and even too more numerous to sit here and lecture on, let's get specific and let's focus. And so this will be a four-part series, all right? Number one, let's see if I can make this a little higher. But number one, we're gonna focus on anger. Oh, is that working? There we go. There we go, all right. I've grown a little in the past week. You believe that, I'll tell you later. Anger, rage, and wrath. That's what we're going to cover today. All right? We only have less than an hour, so, you know, that's enough time. That's rich material for us to get into. Later on, we'll talk about guilt and shame. That's part two. Part three, jealousy and envy. And part four, pride and arrogance. Okay? So,
the best for last, right?
Save the best for last. Perfect. You know, so that's what we're here to talk about. All right? Now, this is my favorite day. Today is March 4th. And I'll tell you why. I gave a communion some weeks ago where I talked about what I believe to be God's message built into the Roman calendar. Because he wants us to go forward, preach the gospel to every preacher, and make disciples of all nations. He wants us to move forward in our lives and leave the things behind us. Let the dead bury the dead. And I believe that when he gave us this day, he was giving us a message that tells us to march forth, to move forward. That's why this is one of my favorite days. And what better way for us to talk about anger than to talk about leaving anger in the past? Move forward. March forward. And so that's not the title of today's talk, but we're going to march forth in love and peace. March forth in brotherhood. March forth with our families, leaving anger behind. But first, we've got to learn a little something about it. So let me give you a format. I'm going to talk a little bit about anger. We'll delve into scripture in a couple of different ways. During my talk, and then afterward, I'm going to open up for us to have an activity. And I want to prompt you for that earlier rather than later. None of this makes sense if we can't talk to each other about what we're going through, all right? And I don't just mean for someone to share out in the open and for you to say, oh, hey, listen, I'll share, I'll pray for you, brother, and then march off in the sunset. I mean to really care about one another enough to talk to each other about what we are going through, all right? Raise your hand if you've been angry in the past 3 months. My hand goes all the way up, all right? No, I should raise two hands, okay? And I'm going to tell you something that I'm going to share out with a brother when we do the sharing out part. There was a time in my life when I was so angry at everything, you know, that I couldn't see straight. Not that I was justified in that anger. I'm supposed to be angry. It's my parents' fault. I grew up poor. It's my dad's fault. He was an alcoholic. You know, I'm justified in this anger. You know, Harlem was a mean place back then. It wasn't Starbucks and Whole Foods. It was crack and robberies. Some of you know that. Remember it. Grew up in it. And, you know, when something happened to me, I'm justified in my anger. There are times I wouldn't be standing here if there wasn't somebody in my life who wasn't as angry, that didn't have some sense. Stopped me from doing something that could have ruined my life forever. So that's some of the reason that I'm going to talk about anger with you today, not as a psychological expert, a licensed psychologist, and none of that stuff makes a difference, but as a past master in anger, somebody who knows what it feels like, somebody who knows the hurt behind it, and somebody who knows the mistakes that can come of it. And I've made many of them, and so have some of you. So let's talk about anger. Let's get real with rage and wrath. And you know, the funny thing about rage and wrath is those are the fruit of anger. And Satan loves anger, because he can use it to take a life. Satan can use anger to destroy a soul, to ruin a reputation, to divorce a family, to divide a church. And some of us have seen that. You don't have to live long to see that. You could be a child, and I've witnessed that. Let me tell you something. You can live your entire life in righteousness and ruin it with one act of anger. You know, prisons are filled with young and old people who are living the rest of their lives behind bars because of one act of anger. Yeah. You know, it doesn't matter that they did the right things, opened all the right doors, followed all the rules, got the right jobs, paid all the bills, prayed all their lives. One act of anger wiped it out, yeah. At least in this world. Mm-hmm. Anger is important. It's important for us to understand it, to talk about it. Now, in the interest of time, I wasn't going to do the experiment that I had set up for us, but I had a seltzer bottle, and I was going to shake it a little bit and tell you, you see, this is anger, all right? And that lid there is how we hold on to it. Nobody knows you're angry, but all it takes is a little provocation from your children, from your spouse, from the boss, and that cap comes off, and the fluid comes out. In an explosive manner. We're exactly the same way. And I want to make certain that we're able to talk about it in a way that makes sense. All right, so in this installment, I told you we're going to talk about emotional development in the context of anger. Train ourselves to be godly and restrain and redirect among the most sinful of emotions, anger and rage. And that's what we're going to talk about. Let's pray really quickly, and then we're going to get into it. Father God, we can't pray to you enough about softening our hearts and helping us to understand that we can, as Christian men, turn away wrath with gentleness and kindness. Amen. And not hate and not be angry. Anger is a natural emotion, even you have it, but it's what we do with it. Mm-hmm. Teach us what to do. Amen. We are angry. In Jesus' name, amen. So scriptures on anger tells us what to do, or tells us at least how to think about anger. And so I'm going to go through these in rapid fire fashion, but you should have a sheet that has some of these listed out. And so Proverbs 15:1 tells us that a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs 22:24 tells us not to associate with a hot-tempered, easily angered person. This is all paraphrased. Proverbs 29:8 tells us that the wise turn away from anger. James 1:20 tells us that human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. 1 Timothy 2:8 tells us that men everywhere should pray, lifting up holy hands without anger. Ephesians 4:31 and Colossians 3:8 tells us to rid ourselves of bitterness, anger, rage, and malice. 1 Corinthians 13:5 tells us that love is not easily angered. And Proverbs 30:33 tells us that anger produces strife. Now I want to define anger, all right? And not just with the Oxford Dictionary definition of anger, but with the kind of definition that we can relate to and apply to our lives, the extended version of that definition. So we already know that anger is an intense negative expression of disappointment and hurt. Talking about anger. But anger, if we were to think about fire as a metaphor, anger is also a spark. It's an ember that can lead to an out-of-control situation. And anger is one letter away from danger. If there's anything you'd like to write down, write that. Anger is one letter away from danger. It doesn't take much. Now, there's a funny thing about that letter that separates anger from danger. That's the same letter that can be found in destruction, that can be found in devastation, that can be found in divisiveness. That same letter can be found in domestic violence. That same letter can be found, can lead to disfellowship. That same letter can be found in death. That same letter that separates anger from danger can be found in damnation. And yes, that same letter can be found in devil. Anger is one letter away from danger. And when we live anger, eventually it grows into something that can lead us to sin and worse. Anger has children. And the children of anger are rage and wrath. Now let's define rage. Rage is anger out of control. Rage is the behavioral manifestation of unchecked anger. If anger is the spark, then rage is a forest fire. There are different types of rage. There's the fleeting rage that a lot of us feel where, you know, something makes us so angry that we may let it out every now and then. I'm less worried about that. That's more like a brush fire. Then there's sustained rage. Be very worried about sustained rage. This is the seething kind of rage that stays in your heart, stays angry. It is burning, and you may not be manifesting it, but it's still there. I'm going to tell you something. You've experienced this. You know when you're shaking hands with somebody who's angry at you. You know when there's somebody who's angry all the time. Sometimes I'm on the Palisades speeding a little bit, and there's still somebody behind me with the high beams on who wants to go 15 miles faster, honking like a madman. That's anger, all right? And that person doesn't know me, I don't know them. There's explosive rage, think the volcano. This is the kind of rage that hits everyone like an exploding device. And now some psychological terms that I'd like to share related to rage. There's narcissistic rage, rage aimed at controlling other people. And then there's histrionic rage, rage aimed at getting attention. Sociopathic rage, rage aimed at manipulation, all right? And so rage has a twin, and it's wrath. Now, wrath is the retaliatory rage with aim. Wrath has a purpose. It's the same rage aimed at someone. And if anger is the ember of the spark, and rage is the fire, then wrath is the flamethrower. Wrath is when you aim anger and rage at someone intentionally to destroy and punish. But the only thing I submit to you that gets destroyed is the fellowship itself. With your wife, with the church, with the children. May as well throw in a bonus if you guys don't mind. How about bitterness? I wasn't going to talk about bitterness tonight, still won't. But it's worth defining it. I think it may even be on your sheet. Now, this is a bonus. Bitterness is anger based on petty self-entitlement. You show me a bitter person, and I'll show you small-minded anger based on petty gripes and a sense of entitlement. All right, we can move on from that without any further commentary. All right, nothing more to say about that. Maybe you see bitterness is based on something that somebody wants that they think they're entitled to and the pettiness that surrounds that. So, now here's the thing. Now, anger is not something that's all bad. I know that's hard to hear. All right? There are purposes for anger, and we all feel it. Like, for example, anger in and of itself, while it is a negative emotion, it's something we all feel, and there's a reason it's built into us. And as a matter of fact, there are numerous examples in the Bible of God and Christ experiencing anger. The Old Testament is riddled with stories through Genesis and Exodus, and the five points of Lamentation, Kings and Judges, and other Old Testament texts that are rich with anecdotes of God's anger. All right? So angry that he wiped out entire civilizations.
Yeah.
Make them pay for that sin. So there are positive reasons for anger. So number one, and I don't know if I gave this to you guys, but anger is a signal. All right? The minute you feel anger or detect anger, you know that it's a signal that something's amiss. Mature Christians go in there to talk about it. People who are not quite adept at dealing with anger are likely to fall apart and roll with it. Anger can be protective. You know, you ever get angry? I know I get angry at my wife, like Brother Paul admitted, and like all of us affirm, you know. One of the things my wife and I started talking about, and then we were sharing this with another couple during the marriage retreat, you know, is, yeah, man, it's Satan's waiting right outside to make us angry about something petty. And one way that we deal with it is we've decided, and it's not, it doesn't always work, but it's 90% at this point. You know, we're going to fight for our marriage, for our family, and not use anger against the forces that are attacking our marriage instead of fighting with each other. So anger can be protective. I'm going to tell you something that I did learn when I was growing up from the men in my family. People shouldn't fight, but somebody better know how. And one way to fight is against the things that threaten the church, that threaten your family. Create a protective barrier of joy, peace, and love around your family that nothing can get through, and including the family and the church. Anger can give perspective, and we're going to talk about perspective later. Anger may teach you about yourself, all right? Anger is an indication that there is something to learn. I found in my more mature adult life, the minute I find myself getting angry at somebody, there's something I'm going to learn about myself before I go in there and start attacking. I'm going to tell you something else, and this may not be the case for you, but it has 100% been the case for me. Whenever I went to, I'm going to go address this thing. You see, I grew up a man. You don't play me. I'm a grown man. I'm going to tell you like it is. Whenever I've gone to address somebody about something in anger, I was always 100% wrong. Strong and wrong. It's a deadly combination. Okay. So those are the positive things about anger, all right? Now, what makes anger sinful? Now, what makes anger sinful is what it becomes, what anger grows into, and what we do with it. That's when it becomes sinful. How do we use the anger? You know, anger itself can be expressed respectfully, but you can't be respectful and rageful at the same time. It's impossible. Let's think about this visual. Anybody else here serve in the military? There are probably a couple of them. There we go. My man back there. Anybody watch Rambo movies? Contacts? All right. You know. So let's think about somebody walks into a McDonald's, and they pull out a hand grenade, and they pull the pin. All right? We all know what that means. And after they do that, they say, oh, no, wait. You know, stick around and hear me out. All right? And that's what rage is like. You're basically pulling the pin and asking others to stick around for the shrapnel. Mm-hmm. Once there's rage, the conversation is over. It's done. All right, so why focus on anger in the first place? Well, for one, I just told you that anger is the mother of rage and wrath, and anger is the most primitive of emotions. It's the one that is hardest to tame. It is the one that comes straight from that pleasure center. I'm going to... And you could just fill in the blanks on how you're going to resolve that anger. None of it is ever going to be right. Anger is the most dangerous. I told you that anger is one letter away from danger. Anger is the most destructive. Anger is the most divisive. Anger is the most likely to occur. You're more likely to get angry than you are to love. And it's just the way it is. Anger can lead to the most sinful behavior. And the way to deal with most major sins is to first begin with dealing with anger, or at least those that happen in the context of anger. Now, I want to tell you something about anger that you already know, or at least you've already felt. When there is anger in your heart or anybody else's heart, anger is based on pain. When you peel away all of the nonsense, macho, onion layers that surround, you know, why a person is angry, you peel it all away, it's hurt. It's pain. Pain is at the core of anger. And if we understand our pain, then we can regulate anger. And if we regulate anger, then we can extinguish rage. And if we extinguish rage, then we can build God's kingdom in love. But let's work backward. If we don't deal with anger, anger will develop into rage, which will become intentional wrath, which will lead to sin, which will divide the body. And the first division in that body starts in that household, you, your wife, the children. A long time ago, a man that I admire, and he doesn't even know it, but been looking up to in a great many ways, stood in Haverstraw Bay Park, and the strongest example of Christian manhood that I ever saw said, I'm going to tell you something about me. When I was raising my family, I was a bully. And I said, that's manhood right there. And I spoke to my wife that night and said, that was the strongest example of manhood I've ever seen. To stand up there and admit something that would make most people cringe, not this congregational nerves of steel. He was able to bring it out to the surface. He could wash away that sin. We are united when we get real with anger, get real with rage, and get real with wrath. And it first begins with talking about it. So I'm going to ask for some readers here. I don't know if I have these scriptures on your page there, but if anybody has their Bibles open, I'm going to ask you to read Ephesians 4. First person, please read Ephesians 4, 25 to 27. The minute you have it, raise your hand, read quickly, and we'll go to the next person for the next verse. Chris.
Ephesians 4, 25 to 27. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold.
All right, thank you, Chris. Who's going to take 31 from me? All right. Let's go, brother.
Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you.
God bless you. Thank you for that. Somebody, please go to Galatians, and this will be Galatians 5, 19 to 21, and 22 to 26. These are short and quick. First person to get it, please raise your hand. Okay, Ellie.
The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Okay, thank you. And last. Let's have somebody read starting at 22. Mark.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other.
Thank you, brother. Let the Lord bless the reading of that word. All right, so let's have some fun, and then we're going to go into our activity. All right? And so, you know, I've, over the years, become the king of acronyms. And so we're going to deal with anger. Let's think about some Christian ways to deal with anger. And so number one, and you'll see it on your handout there, let's dare to deal with anger. D-A-R-E stands for deal with anger responsibly and effectively. Okay, well great, how do we do that, right? And that's where the rest of the seven comes in. So stop stands for see the other perspective. See the other's perspective. Sometimes we're angry because we're in our own head. And it's hard for us to get out of our own head and see the world as it is. As a matter of fact, sometimes people who are the most angry don't see the world the way it actually is. they see the world the way they are. And they're angry at the world, mostly because they are angry at themselves, how they've been, how they've treated others. And they externalize that anger. And what about an example of a person who I encountered the other day who will never speak to another brother again, not in the church, thank God, but out there in the world, he never speak to this other brother again. I said, why? He said, well, you know, he lied to me. And I got that, all right? Nobody wants to be lied to. But here's the thing. This brother's intimidating, and this brother's judgmental. And the other brother is sincere and wants to do the right thing. And I just happen to know that the reason he hid the truth is because he was downright afraid of this brother. And you know, there's some perspective taking to be had there. That brother didn't lie to you because, you know, he just wanted to prank you or get over on you. There's nothing to get. He lied to you because he wanted to hopefully avoid your wrath. So the reason he lied was rooted in the anger in the first place, sinful anger. See, sin begets sin, and anger is one of those sins that begets a lot of sin. Not anger itself, but what it becomes and what you do with it. Okay, so you see the other perspective? Smile. Show more intelligence and less emotion. And in order to do that, I have to give you a strategy, and that's talk. Topple your anger. You're going to have something slightly different on your sheet, but I have written on mine with some revision. Topple your anger with a litany of knowledge. Biblical knowledge. Delve into the Word and find out something about that anger inside of you. It is our most ancient text. There isn't anything in there that isn't going to deal with the anger that's within. Yes, there are other things that we could do, but start there. Get knowledge. One of the reasons, let's just talk about the world in a minute. One of the reasons there are groups of people who are at the bottom statistically of every goodness and at the top statistically of every badness, top of the list when it comes to bad credit, top of the list when it comes to homelessness, top of the list when it comes to teen pregnancy, top of the list when it comes to health problems, top of the list when it comes to poverty, top of the list when it comes to a whole range of marriages, brothers in and out of marriages, on and off drugs, top of the list for all of these negative things. Why? I could tell you one thing that I think explains it, and that's knowledge gaps. When you close those gaps, you start to close some of those problems and then deal with the more complex nature of it. Calm. Call another loving member. When you feel angry, before you externalize that anger, reach out to somebody with some sense. Reach out to somebody who loves you enough to tell you the truth about your anger, and who could do it gently, and who could do it in a godly manner, but reach out to somebody with some sense. And I don't care how old you are, and I don't care how experienced you are, and how educated you are, or how young you are, and how inexperienced. There's always somebody out there who can help you. There's always somebody out there who can see what you can't see. Anger blinds you. Find somebody with some sense who can help you. Height. Have your pain exposed. Now, you know, this one I had to stretch together, but here's the deal. One of the reasons, one of the ways you could deal with anger is by talking to somebody about your pain. Start with that calm, loving, mature Christian that you found to share with. Talk to somebody about the pain, and all of a sudden you're not angry anymore. You're just dealing with the hurt. I mean, there are people who have had tremendous things happen to them that they forget. And went on to live a peaceful life. And then there's some of us, not here in the church, thankfully, but somebody cuts us off in traffic and we're angry for a whole week. And we externalize that anger to our children and our wives. Talk to somebody and talk about the pain. All right? You got angry because somebody cut you off. What really bothers you? What really hurt you about that? There's something that really hurt you about it. You talk about it, you find out everybody's always getting over on me. All right, we're not talking about traffic anymore. We're talking about the real stuff. Hold on and pray earnestly, okay? And there's a song that I used to love growing up. I haven't sang it in quite a while, so I'm a little bit rusty on the lyrics. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and tribulations? Is there trouble anywhere? Our precious Savior's refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And so with that, let's put some of this in practice. So I want you to pair up with a brother, preferably one you don't already know. Let's build a community here. And talk to somebody. You know, get in that group of two or three brothers, and we got a few minutes here, you know, and talk to them about these things. What has hurt you? How it came out in the form of anger? And then after all of you share out, you want to pray. So calm. Get in that group with the brothers. Hype. Share specific stories about pain in your life that led to anger and hope. Pray out that group. And then we'll come back out here and pray as a larger group. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Kevin, you with me. Well,
don't
I know Kevin.